Leaders need to kick out the worldliness in the church, the false teachers that have come in, the stuff that is infiltrating the church. They need to kick it out. Need to put it out when they see it and not allow it to infiltrate the body of Christ, where the body becomes worldly and then God's discipline is upon the body.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, give us an idea how we should listen to today's broadcast in order to get the most from it.
Well, Dave, we need to listen like our life depends on it, because it does. So what do I mean? Turn with us to Nehemiah chapter 13, and we're going to be looking at verses 15 to 22.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address, again, is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
We have the high priest pointed to Jesus, our high priest, right? Hebrews 2, 1 Timothy 2:5. Well, what about the Sabbath day? What does that point to? Well, I've already revealed this already, but turn with me this time to Colossians chapter 2. Because there were people trying to pull the Colossians away from focusing on Christ. And they were doing it by focusing on the shadows. Now, the shadows are only good if it points you to the reality. You know, think about this. If I've got a picture of my wife and I'm looking at it, they go, oh boy, I really love my wife. And honey, you're wonderful and this and that. But she's right next to me. Wait a second. I'm ignoring the reality, looking to the shadow. This points to her, you see? And it is dishonoring to her to look at the shadow and elevate that shadow. That shadow should point me to the reality. And so here, Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Therefore, let no one act as your judge in regard to food, drink, in respect of festival, new moon, or Sabbath day. Don't let them judge you, tell you, hey, you should be doing this. That's what he's saying, basically. Act as your judge. Why aren't you doing that, right? And now he's going to say, things which are what? A mere shadow. He says Sabbath day is a mere shadow, by the way. He says here, a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. The Sabbath day pointed to the rest we have in Jesus Christ. It is super important. Therefore, the disobedience of the shadow was twofold. One, you dishonor the reality, which is super huge, has to do with salvation. But secondly, there was this idea that God was letting them rest and trust in him. And so if you disobey that, you are showing that you don't trust in the Lord. You see? So it was twofold in that sense. So here, we recognize that this picture was about Sabbath rest in Christ. We saw that again. I could read it again, but I already read it twice today in Hebrews chapter 4. We get our salvation rest in Jesus Christ. It's connected with the 6 days and the Sabbath. It's connected with everything. It's pointing to salvation rest in Jesus. Now, some people can be misled and misunderstand because of zealousness to obey God's word and focus on some of these things. And we need to graciously point them to the reality that's behind that. Now, if they're not willing to, then that means there's maybe a more serious issue that they haven't truly come to faith in Jesus yet and need Jesus Christ, right? Okay, so then we need to recognize that this focuses on the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who have believed enter that rest. Hebrews 4:3. Okay, so a little bit about Sabbath. Now, it's important to notice that back in their time, I want to look at one more passage and turn to this, Exodus 31. Let's turn it together. That in the Old Covenant, it was a serious thing to profane the Sabbath. It was not a good thing. It was a serious thing. Now, the bad guys, the Pharisees and Jews, they elevated the symbol above the Lord. That's the whole deal that's going on in Matthew 11 and 12. Come to me, all you weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And then the next verse, chapter 12, he's walking in the Sabbath and picking stuff to eat in the Sabbath, right? And the Pharisees come in, boom, you know, and he has to correct them, right? Okay. Exodus 31, verse 12. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, but as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, you shall surely observe my Sabbath, for this is a sign before me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who set you apart. hey, you got to rest in Jesus. Then you know he's the one who sets you apart, right? Okay. Therefore, you are to observe the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. This is the Israelites, the Old Covenant Israelites. Everyone who, notice this word, profanes the Sabbath shall be put to death. Oh boy, that's kind of a pretty big consequence. That means this is really important. You see, even the symbols were very important because they pointed to incredible realities and truths concerning salvation in Jesus Christ. And so here, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes the Sabbath shall surely be put to death. And for whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among the people. Wow, pretty serious deal, right? And then he goes on to explain about the Sabbath. So, back to Nehemiah. So then, he admonishes those on the day they sold food. End of verse 15. You got some in Judah bringing stuff in. You got stuff going on. You got work going on the Sabbath. So he admonished them. But notice, that's the people. Now notice what he does with the leaders. It's a little different, okay? But first of all, he notices something else going on. Look at verse 16. Also, men of Tyre were living there who imported fish, verse 16, and all kinds of merchandise and sold them to the sons of Judah on the Sabbath, even in Jerusalem. See, you got these merchants from Tyre, right? But they're merchants from Tyre. And most likely this is speaking of the island city of Tyre that would be destroyed in 332 by Alexander the Great, as prophesied in Ezekiel 26. Now, Tyre was an arrogant, prosperous city of commerce, wealth, and power, okay? It was just off the shore of what we call Lebanon. And it had become a thorn in Israel's side because Israel didn't drive them out. But it wasn't a thorn in terms of attacking them physically. It was a thorn in terms of the attacks of worldliness. It was very worldly, very prosperous worldly. Even so, in Ezekiel chapter 28, the reproof of the king of Tyre morphs into reproof of the spiritual power behind him, Satan. We see that. Very, very bad place, okay? Just like the world. Satan's the god of this world, right? Okay? And so here, we have this Tyre stuff. We got there selling goods. Hey, these guys are making bucks on the Jews. They're ready to buy on the Sabbath, looks like, right? Okay, even in Jerusalem. This is a horrible thing. It's only been 12 years since the people were convicted of their sins. They made a commitment to no longer profane the Sabbath because they understood God had displayed his disciplinary hand upon them because of that. Look back to chapter 10 of Nehemiah. Turn back to chapter 10 and look at verse 31. This was their commitment when they had repented 12 years earlier. As for the peoples of the land, that's who bring wares or any grain on the Sabbath day to sell. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? We will not buy from them on the Sabbath day or holy day. We're going to obey the Lord. And now Nehemiah comes back, and what is happening? They're buying. Now, obviously, the reality is they're trying to take care of themselves. They need the food to live, whatever it is, but they're not trusting the Lord. And they're not obeying him. And we can be off in the same way where we don't trust the Lord and we go after finances and money. We'll talk about that later on. Not good. We need to trust the Lord. Okay? So then, back in our passage, they're sinning. Nehemiah sees it. He reprimanded the people. He admonished them. But then here, verse 17, notice what happens back in Nehemiah 13. Then I reprimanded the nobles of Judah and said to them, what is this evil thing you are doing by profaning the Sabbath day? Hey, he didn't miss any words there, did he? He called it what it was. You see, now the nobles here, we saw the officials earlier, first part, first admonishment last week. The nobles now, this was a higher class. It was a ruling class in a sense. And they were actually not good guys. They'd had some problems earlier. These were the same guys who had, through intermarriage, been yoked with Tobiah back in chapter 6. And they sent letters back and forth, and they told what Nehemiah was doing and all of Tobiah's good deeds, which were not good deeds, right? There's all this junk going on with the nobles. And so Nehemiah does this. He says he reprimands them. The word means to contend. He contended with them. He's a godly leader. He's not going to give the nobles a pass to continue in their wickedness, which affects the people. And so he contends with them, and he said, what is this, middle of 17, this evil thing you are doing? by profaning the Sabbath day. Pretty strong. It goes to the leaders in the situation. The word profane means to pollute, defile, desecrate. Profane the Sabbath. It was a defilement of God's command to allow people to sell, because the command was not to sell. It was to rest, right? So they were defiling it. They were polluting it, especially with those from Tyre doing business, even in Jerusalem. So this evil is blatant. And you see, when you blatantly disobey God's word, that's evil. When you lead other people or approve and cause them to do so, parents, you allow your children to disobey God's word, you are profaning his word. You are worthy of reproof. You are to raise your children up with the fear and admonition of the Lord. You are to have them seek to trust the Lord, to obey him. You are to discipline them. When you don't do so and you allow them to do evil, you are leading them astray, not good. And so these nobles are doing it. They're profaning. And again, we saw back in Exodus 31 that it was evil to do this. It was evil. It's incredibly evil because it fosters rebellion towards God's word and self-reliance. You let people buy goods on that day, you're fostering rebellion against God. You're fostering self-reliance and not trust in God. Very evil. And I hope there's no areas where you, and if there are, you confess it, are fostering self-reliance in your children, fostering self-reliance in those in whom you have a temporal authority over for their good. Whatever it is, whether it's leading in the church, whatever it might be, I pray that that is not happening. So then, now, notice what he says. He's going to reprimand, and he's also going to explain, hey, you guys, what is going on here? Isn't this the whole reason God poured his discipline on Israel and why we're in such bad straits right now? Look at verse 18. Did not your fathers do the same so that our God brought on them and on the city all this trouble? We know earlier we saw that Israel, ever since Joshua, never obeyed the Sabbath year or the land. And so God took it back. That was 70 years, over 490 years they didn't obey. He took it back and put them out of the land and let it rest for 70 years. That's the exile. You can see that. And so he's saying, didn't your fathers do the same, brought all this and the city and the trouble? Hey, you're profaning the Sabbath. You're doing exactly what God brought his wrath on us before. Don't you get it? Look back at chapter 9, because this is where they acknowledge that very thing, when they're repentant. Chapter 9, verse 33. This is the good time. This is when they're seeing things rightly. Chapter 9, 33. However, thou art just in all that has come upon us. And hey, if you ever get to that point where you see the difficulties in your life because you've been sinning and walking away from the Lord, whatever it might be, and you just go, you are just, Lord. It's all. So many Christians complain about this and this and this, and maybe some of that stuff's discipline. Maybe not. We don't know. Maybe it's Job's situation. But when you get to the point where you're just in everything that's come upon me, Lord, your heart's in the right place. Okay, for thou hast dealt faithfully, but we have acted wickedly. For our kings, our leaders, our priests, our fathers have not kept the law or paid attention to thy commandments and thine admonitions, which thou hast admonished them. But they in their own kingdom with thy great goodness, which thou didst give them, with a broad and rich land, which thou didst set before them, did not serve thee or turn from their evil deeds. Behold, we are slaves today. And as to the land which thou dost give us our fathers to eat its fruit and its bounty, behold, we are slaves on it. This was 12 years earlier. And its abundance produce is for the kings whom thou dost set over us because of our sins. They also rule over our bodies and our cattle as they please, so we are in great distress. Now because of all this, we are making an agreement in writing, and on a sealed document we are names of our leaders and Levites and priests. They're saying, hey, we're going to obey God. And remember, three of those things were some of the things that are happening here that they are now disobeying. So Nehemiah is saying, did not your fathers do the same so that God brought on us and on the city all this trouble? Don't you realize this is why we're in the situation we're in right now? Because of this very direct, exact disobedience. And then notice the end of verse 18 back in Nehemiah 13. Yet you are adding to the wrath on Israel by polluting the Sabbath. Exactly what you're doing. Very bad. Very bad. Nehemiah is contending with them. He's a good leader. He admonished the people. He has reprimanded the nobles. He didn't take any time to wait for this. He just did it when he got back. He saw it and he addressed it right away. And now notice he's going to take specific actions to protect them from this. Okay? Things that the leaders should have done but did not do. Verse 19, and it came about just as it grew dark at the gates of Jerusalem before the Sabbath, I commanded that the doors should be shut and they should not open them until after the Sabbath. It's taking practical action. Guess what? 12 years ago and 52 days, they didn't have any gates. They're all burned down. They didn't have walls. They're rebuilt. They have gates. Just by the way, you can command them. Now they can shut them. Shut them. Taking practical action. And he says, then I stationed some of my servants at the gates that no load should enter on the Sabbath day. Practical action to keep out those bad guys from Tyre. Those guys are coming to, there's always going to be temptation from the world. Tyre is everywhere. It's all around us. But we need to have things that are in the way, spiritually speaking, so that we don't fall into temptation. We need to be trusting the Lord, obeying Him, being careful and cautious in our walk. And then notice, he actually warns the merchants. He's like, he actually gets down to it. Verse 20. Once or twice, traders or merchants of every kind of merchandise spent the night outside Jerusalem. Okay, it's like this little place over here, this flea market. You look before Saturday and Sunday, they have the thing, but Friday night, just people hanging out, getting ready to sell the next day, right? Well, outside the gates, you got these guys, these merchants, they're getting ready. They're waiting for the gates to open up, right? They're out there. And notice what he says here. He says, then I warned them, and this is really important, and said to them, why do you spend the night in front of the wall? If you do so again, I will use force against you. Hey, we're going to force you out. You do this again, and guess what? From that time on, end of verse 20, they did not come on the Sabbath. Hey, there's good leadership, all right? They didn't come from that point. Leaders need to kick out the worldliness in the church, the false teachers that have come in, the stuff that is infiltrating the church. They need to kick it out. Need to put it out when they see it and not allow it to infiltrate the body of Christ, where the body becomes worldly and then God's discipline is upon the body. We just need to kick it out. Nehemiah is doing this. And notice he sets up a system of security through the Levites. Verse 22. And I commanded the Levites that they should purify themselves. Hey, whenever they were serving the Lord, doing God's work, they purified themselves. It was a ceremonial purification, right? We saw that, cleansing with water. Now, that pointed to the purification we have in Christ, right? And so we need to be pure before Him. We need to confess our sins when we serve Him. When you do things for the Lord Jesus, don't be walking in sin. Be walking in forgiveness, okay? And cleansed from those sins. So he says here, he addressed them as come as gatekeepers, to sanctify, to set apart the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, right? To keep it holy. Now, folks, we are not old covenant Jews in a covenant relationship with the Lord at Sinai. That's not us. We are blessed by the new covenant through the blood of Jesus Christ. We have forgiveness of sins and a relationship with the living God. We are His people. He is our God. He has written the word on our hearts. And He will, as we see in that, save all Israel in the future. They'll all know Him. When He comes, the deliverer comes from Zion. But right now, we are blessed by the new covenant through forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. And so then, how might this apply to us in regard to Sabbath? We need to keep anything and guard against anything that would come upon and encroach the Sabbath rest we have in Jesus Christ. Folks, you cannot do anything in your own strength. Apart from Jesus Christ, you could do nothing. We are to abide in Him. We are to guard against those who would even bring into the church those things that pull away the sufficiency of Christ in salvation primarily, but also in sanctification. You see it in Galatians. Who has bewitched you? They were already saved, but someone brought in a false gospel even after that. We need to guard against that. Guard against those things where we want to work ourselves to do things rather than abide and trust and obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Guard it. And our leaders should be guarding it. You see, leaders are charged to refute and exhort in sound doctrine, Titus chapter 1, that they may address those who contradict, right? And those teachers that arise, those bad guys, okay? So then, Nehemiah has done good. He's done good. He's a good leader. And notice what he says in the end of this passage. This is the end of our portion here. End of verse 22. For this, for what? All the reprimanding, admonishing, and setting up and protecting, all that stuff, right? For this also, because the first time you asked to remember him earlier, right? For throwing out Tobiah and doing all that stuff, right? Taking care of the forsaken of the house of the Lord. For this also, Remember me, O my God, and have compassion on me according to the greatness of thy loving kindness. Nehemiah, as a believer, he trusts the Lord. And he is not saying, O Lord, I'm so prideful, exalt me in the future. He's not saying that. He's not saying, O Lord, you're a very forgetful God. Remember what I did. No, he's not saying that. He is making a request for the Lord to respond appropriately. Remember, think about what I have done. Think about this according to your loving kindness. And he says here, and have compassion on me. You see, the Lord is going to remember. Hebrews chapter 6, 11, God is not unjust to forget your work and the love you've shown towards his name and having ministered and still ministering to the saints. Hey, you serve him, he's not going to forget it. But here, Nehemiah reveals the reality of how difficult it is to do what's right in the Lord. He says, have compassion. It means pity, mercy. You know what? It is not easy for a leader or for anyone to stand firm in the Lord. You make a lot of intermediate enemies. They were your enemies anyway already, but they just didn't show up because there was compromise. When you stand for the Lord, they arise up, and it is very difficult, especially for leaders. And he is praying, be compassionate on me, be merciful, have pity on me. And folks, you need to pray for your leaders. Pray for them. When they stand up and do what is right, there are all kinds of attacks. These guys certainly weren't happy with Nehemiah, I bet. The nobles, the officials, you know, the people from Tyre. We need to pray for your leaders. And he says, have compassion according to, which is really great, the greatness of thy loving kindness, the greatness of thy chesed. That's his loyal, covenant-keeping love. God loves us, and he keeps his word. According to your faithful love to me, have mercy, Lord God. That's a good prayer because he understands his weakness. He understands his need of the Lord. So Nehemiah has done good. He has done good. So then, certainly these things have been written for our instruction upon whom the end of the ages have come, right? A lot of the different lessons here, you probably already got them in your head, but good leaders are going to drive out the wicked stuff. They're going to take care of it. They're going to clean house. They're going to address defilement and sin and worldliness in the body of Christ. They're going to do it even to their own hurt and their need for God's pity and mercy upon them in the midst of that, right? They're going to do so. But also for us, we need to recognize that things can creep in where we trust subtly in work or we trust subtly in money. We rely on those things rather than obeying the Lord. Obey the Lord and he'll take care of you. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. He's going to add all those things, shelter, food, and clothing. You know, seek the things of him. Don't love money or you won't love God, right? Seek him. So then, when worldliness creeps in like this, it causes us to disobey God because we're not trusting him. We need to deal with it drastically also. Okay, so great lesson from Nehemiah in terms of leadership and then what we should do.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up this broadcast, what's our takeaway?
Dave, the takeaway is simply this. What we've seen has to do with trust in the Lord concerning finances and work, and thus concerning contentment. Maybe some of you need to repent and then commit to obey the Lord, trusting him, being content, believing he will provide for you, and then pursuing righteousness, godliness, faith, love, and perseverance rather than money. How about you? Do you need to repent and do what is right regarding money? Some of you need to stop figuratively buying and selling on the Sabbath by not trusting the Lord to provide, by seeking money and security through finances. Rather, you need to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from equipping the saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here, for another edition of Equipping the Saints.